I'm Larry Morrow, and this is Take Two, the radio program that looks inside a person's adventure, not so much from the outside in, but the inside out. In the next 30 minutes, you'll discover the inward joy of the heart of Hugh Hewitt that has married him to the passion of his life and the affirmation of ideals that has directed his success. Hugh Hewitt is a lawyer, professor, broadcast journalist, whose nationally syndicated radio show is heard in more than 120 cities across the United States every weekday morning, of which I have listened to for many years. He was an analyst for NBC News and MSNBC, a columnist for the Washington Post, author of more than a dozen books, and if that's not enough to keep him busy, he was the president and CEO of the Richard Nixon Foundation. He was also a graduate of Harvard College and the University of Michigan Law School. Whenever you mention Michigan in this town, Hugh Hewitt, we all know that you're in the camp of the enemy. So, and that is something you know. But welcome, Hugh Hewitt. Good to have you.
Oh, Larry, first, I have to say how wonderful it is to talk to you on air. It's one of the voices of my youth, and I just am thrilled to be with you. But yes, whenever Michigan law comes up, I have to explain that I treated Michigan like the Vikings treated England. Go get what's worth having and leave. And so I got up there for 3 years, got my law degree and left. You know, radio, when I got started, less so today, much less so even than 10 years ago, did shtick, did promos, did everything they could to be a memorable experience for the listener and keep you coming back. Yes. And if you ever began to list your promotions, I've done a couple of hundred. I'll bet you've done 10,000 promotions?
Well, I've been really blessed, and I don't know if it's been 10,000, but the four that I won't go through the four, but I will tell you that when we had our bicentennial, I remember getting a call, and you know you're always, and you know this, Hugh, you're always looking for something that separates you from the pack. That makes you better, but just separates you.
You bet.
And I got a call from the guy who is who was one of the big dudes in Cleveland at the time. And he said, Larry, he said, the bicentennial is coming up. And he said, we would really like it if you would be our master of ceremony. And there were 450,000 people who attended.
Oh, my goodness.
And that crowd stayed that way, until the Cavaliers won the championship. But that was, you know, that was one of the great promotions of my life. And There were more, but that one
that is something. Yep. I will give you two. I did a little bit for a guy named Dave Zavagna, who's a Padua High School grad.
Okay.
Who put on the bicentennial, the Battle of Lake Erie. And that was great fun because it involved the Ohio State Band. But since I'm a national guy and I go around to different, I'm not as in any community as you are deeply in one community. The difference between syndicated and local is that you are part of the timber of Cleveland. You are in the water. Everybody knows who Larry Morrow is. And Hugh Hewitt, if you have a loyal audience, they will come, but they will not come 450,000. They won't come 4,500. You're going to be lucky if you get 1,000 people. Well, we did Hugh Hewitt on ice, Hugh Hewitt on ice twice, Hugh Hewitt on ice thrice, Hugh Hewitt on ice Roman numeral four in the Twin Cities at AM 1280, the Patriot up there. And it involved snowmobiles and hockey and the ice castle in St. Paul, just go in the dead of winter, ice fishing with Tim Pawlenty on Lake Minnetonka, that kind of stuff. We used to do that. We don't do that anymore because the margins aren't there, right? Yep. I don't know if people do. Cleveland HK will occasionally do a great promotion. I'll come into town for it. Prager doesn't like to work. He's kind of lazy and, you know, he's late and takes people's cigars and stuff. But occasionally Prager and I will come to town and we'll do something, but not the way a community man does, right? Yep. And then when I say 10,000, go home and think about it. I have done 25,000 interviews, not including phone calls, over a 30-year broadcast career.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are only 5 minutes long, like I did Congressman Michael Waltz this morning for 7 minutes. That's a discreet interview. If you start thinking about promotions, not necessarily out-of-studio promotions, but just promotions that you invented and executed on the air, I'll bet you it's more than 10,000.
Well, now you make me want to go back and check.
Start with the number of broadcast days and then multiply times. Well, one promotion a day. You're going to be doing a promotion a day, aren't you?
You bet. Well, you sometimes refer to yourself as a descendant of immigrant parents of Ireland. And I've heard you say that you're a product of a mixed marriage, sort of a green-orange marriage from County down and County Clare in Ireland, correct?
Correct. You are listening closely, Larry. That's
yes.
exactly right. I've been to St. Field, Ireland as recently as 2 years ago, where the Hewitts are from the orange, and County Clare is where the Millers are from the green.
Mm-hmm.
And they met up in Ashtabula through a couple of descendants. But the first Hewitt came, the first Irish, orange Irishman came in 1868. That was my great-grandfather.
Wow.
And so they all four of my grandparents are born in Ashtabula. Both of my parents are Ashtabula and just totally northeastern Ohio. But I like to tell people, I get lost in Cleveland. Everyone thinks if you're from northeastern Ohio, you know everything about Cleveland. I tell them, no, I would go to the game, and if I did not have precise directions to the 422, I was screwed. I couldn't get home.
You can call me. I'll meet you and take you anywhere you want to go, Hugh Hewitt.
Well, now I can get around downtown. After the convention in Cleveland in 2016, Larry, I learned the downtown pretty well, and I've always been able to get to the stadium. And now the Jake, but I guess we don't call it Progressive now. But not east side, west side. I can't place Ignatius and Edwards. I don't know where they are.
Well, do you shy away from participating in the annual St. Patrick's Day parade?
I do. I try and stay out of everything that has more than five people at it. I've found that once you've been on the news, on television, on Meet the Press, and you've taken a point of view,
mm-hmm.
in the last 5 years, people feel it's their obligation to tell you what they think about what you have said.
Mm-hmm.
That has never happened to me on the radio, because nobody knows what you look like when you're on the radio. But since I started doing TV nationally 7 years ago, oh my gosh, it's just not worth going to big events. Where did you go to high school in Pontiac?
Right? I went to a Catholic school. It's called St. Fred's. And then from there, because the nuns did a really good job, in the eighth grade, I went away to be a priest. And then, of course, within the next couple of years, I decided not to be a priest. But, you know, it's amazing, Hugh. In my mind and in my heart, I still feel that way.
Now, Larry, I got to ask you something. Your voice is as mellifluous as it ever was.
Thank you.
And I have to work to do that. I have to rest it.
Mm-hmm.
I have to take some anti-inflammatories. I have to make sure I don't overuse it. How do you maintain? Because you started before me and you're still going strong.
Well,
do you keep it?
I got to tell you a great story. In 1997, I was nominated to the National Radio Hall of Fame in Chicago. And I went to the dinner with Avery Friedman. And I was sitting, you're going to like this. I was a guest at that time also of Casey Kasem. Casey had me at the table with Paul Harvey, his wife Angel, Jack Brickhouse, the voice of the Chicago
Cubs. Oh, my gosh, yes.
Here's some more. Ernie Harwell, the voice of the Tigers.
Oh, my gosh.
And Jack Buck, the voice of St. Louis. And they're sitting next to me. There was a young guy who is going to induct posthumously Robert Smith. Remember that name?
No, I don't know Robert Smith.
Okay. Well, he I'm trying to think of what his real name was, but he was known across America as the best ever. But you know something? It taught me the vast significance of our medium, the great American radio experience. And I remember when I said to Paul Harvey, I said, Paul, I've been listening to you for, 15, 20 years? You still sound the same. And I know that you're in your 80s now. And I said, how do you keep your voice with that kind of timbre? And he said, I do whatever the singers do. He said, I do that every morning. You know, the la, la, la thing.
No, the warm-up.
Yeah. And I said, I do that every morning. He said, your voice will sound the same when you're 100 as it sounds today.
So, oh, my goodness.
So
I'm going to start
you.
Doing it now.
So that's what it is. Yeah.
Even within our own wonderful company of Salem, Mike Gallagher and I have a friendly competition. And Dennis Prager and I are dear, dear friends and have a friendly competition. Mike's a good friend, but Dennis and I have been on the same coast and in the same city for 30 of the last 35 years. And so whenever we do a charitable drive, for example, for food for the poor, if Gallagher gets more people to contribute than I do, I am upset because he beat me. And Prager always beats us because, I don't know, he's got some secret sauce. Dennis is an amazing force of nature. But yes, not only in numbers of listeners, number of affiliates, number of hours and days and years on the radio, but in terms of just among the Salem brethren, you want to be first. And the Salem sisterhood, You want to be first. Mm-hmm. But in the end, in the final analysis, they're different audiences.
Yes.
And different people listen to different things for different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't put in what God left out, to quote Chariots of Fire. I can't make people like me if they don't like me. I mean, if you can't do enough shtick, promotion. If somebody doesn't like you, they can't like you. So you really can't. And I'll ask you, you've been doing this forever. You cannot not be Larry Morrow. If they don't like Larry Morrow, if they don't love that voice, they're never going to love it.
Absolutely. That's why we have so many radio stations and so many different morning shows, right, Hugh?
That's exactly right. There is something for everyone out there on the radio. And I don't think it will ever go away. And I think podcasting is a tribute to the old AM dial, because podcasting allows for people to find what they want in the way that the old AM dial allowed.
You know, Hugh, I don't know anyone on Salem who consistently maintains an A-lister roster of guests like you. Frankly, I don't know anyone in America during any kind of an American talk show who's been able to do this. If we created an arbitrary time limitation, let's say maybe the past 3 years, if you have to identify your top five A-listers, who would they be and maybe why, Hugh?
Oh, sure. President Trump. Number one, he's the best interview in America. People may hate him, but they'll listen to him.
Mm-hmm.
And so no matter if they hear just a little bit of Trump talking to you, and I've done 17 or 18 interviews with the president over the years, and he's been on the last 3 years, they'll stop everything and listen because you have no idea what he's going to say. And so he is the best interview ever. Secretary Pompeo, I just loved Secretary Pompeo because he was very smart, very, very articulate, right to the point. Of my weekly guests, I think Senator Cotton, who was on at the day that we are talking on the show, has become a dear friend over 8 years. And I think Senator Cotton represents at, you know, if he's 40, I'm surprised, 45 years or 50 years of influence in the United States. So I love talking to him as young Tom Cotton. I talked to him before he was in the House, before he was in the Senate, and he continues to come back. I call myself a Rob Portman Republican. And that's because Rob is the essence of Buckeye Nice, right? Ohio is a nice place. We are not, even the toughest politics in Ohio is nothing compared to the coasts. It's just beanbag. They like to say that politics ain't beanbag. So I really enjoy talking to Rob Portman. And then I've got to put in Susan Collins, because in the last year, Susan Collins spent a lot of time on the air with me. And she was in a tough reelection campaign. And Senator Collins represents sort of dead center in American politics. She is the moderate's moderate. So these are my favorite people. I got hundreds of guests I like.
Mm-hmm.
But you talk about A-list political guests. I consider anyone who can make news to be a political guest. That's a great interview. If I can get a headline out of an interview, if you're making news as opposed to reporting news, it's a good day for Hugh Hewitt.
Well, you know, you have described George Will and Charles Krauthammer as models for you, sort of your style of pundity, if you will. Why?
Well, when I was young and in high school, George Will was already a columnist for the Washington Post. And although he is not that much older than me, I used to say, when people ask, what do you want to be when you grow up? I said, George Will, because I think he has, and you and I have, the best job. We don't have to secure a vote every 4 years. We have to secure an audience every day, and our best job keeps us on our toes, right? We never go to sleep. We don't have an off season. It's day in, day out. I just love this job. I just think this is, being a commentator on politics, it's not work. Now, it's not true that if Salem didn't pay me, I would still come to work. I'll never let them get that idea. They might try it. But I actually do believe that a lot of people in podcasting are doing it now because they love the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
They enjoy talking with and about people and events. And I would ask you, I have an all-time favorite interview, which is a very unusual interview. It was on TV with Willie Brown, who is then the Speaker of the California Assembly and a legend in California. I've interviewed 25,000 people, prime ministers and presidents and all that, Emmy Award winners, all that. It's Willie Brown, because his charisma was like an avalanche, and he was completely candid about loving power. There was none of this, I want to help people, I want to do this or that. It was just, I must admit, sometimes I simply enjoy the pure exercise of power. And Richard Dreyfuss came close, but these guys, that's what I love. I love getting a nugget of honesty out of people.
All right, now speaking of power, you regularly talk about your wife by using the nomenclature Mrs. Hewitt. But I'm guessing she has a first name. We don't often hear that. Is there any reason why, and there's something very special about her?
Well, I call her the Fetching Mrs. Hewitt because originally I was very loath to use first names because of some incidents with crazy people in television. Doesn't happen on the radio as much. Mm-hmm. And so I tried to give her as much anonymity as possible. But Betsy, it's now not as urgent. When we had small children, I tried to make it harder for people to find the family. We no longer do. Mm-hmm. And so I don't worry about it as much. But, you know, in our business, nuts and bolts follow out of the sky. And they'll show up at events, and they'll show up, and they'll call the radio station. I am sure in your 3WE days, you had more than a few people have been hitting the pop early, right? Call the station. And we have a 6-second delay for that. But in life, you don't. So I called her the Fetching Mrs. Hewitt one day. And pretty much like everything else, like Morning Glory, you don't know that it's going to work, but it sticks. And people start calling her the Fetching Mrs. Hewitt. Or they'll say, Morning Glory, Hugh. And then you realize that what the audience hears is different from what you're saying. And they like it. And they play it back to you. And that's when I begin to make a bit out of it.
It's a great story. Now we know. I'm Larry Morrow, and this is Take Two, and we're talking today with broadcast journalist Hugh Hewitt. Hugh, I'm so conscious of your time. I only have two quick questions, okay?
Oh, sure.
Do you feel, with all the people you're talking to, and of course, you're one of the great leaders in radio across America, do you feel like you're mentoring a new generation of young followers?
I have been mentoring a new generation of young broadcasters, and I am sure, Larry, I'll turn the question back on you if you did this, but Guy Benson, who people will hear with his own nationally syndicated radio show on the Fox network and will see on Fox, was my first guest host who I purposefully brought into the business and did my best to make sure he got his reps so that he could establish himself. And a fellow named Dave Santrella at Salem hired him out of Northwestern to run a board for a weekend show. And then I said, well, Guy, let's work on my show and then come on and guest host it. He did a weekend show at the Chicago Salem station, and then I gave him a national show. So I've mentored a lot of young people. But as for changing, my demographic is 60-40% male, female, very highly educated, very affluent, and very, they're above 50. Now, we do have some 16, 18, 20-year-olds, and the Hillsdale Dialogue is aimed at them. But I know my demographics, and I don't try to be young. It's the one thing you can't fake, right? You can't fake being 60 under. I'm 65. I'm not going to try and be 55 or 45. Gosh forbid being 25. It won't work. It will be inauthentic. But now, who, Larry, do you say I taught them how to do what they do?
I had a favorite thing that when people would say to me, young broadcasters, what is the most important thing that you do on the radio? And I said, I have been in this marketplace for over 40 years, and I wanted the people who live, work, play, and raise their families in Cleveland, Ohio, to know that Cleveland, Ohio is the greatest city in America to live, work, play, and raise a family.
Bingo.
And from that, yep. George Voinovich gave me the title of Mr. Cleveland, for which is a moniker that I proudly wear, Hugh.
I'm envious of that because national hosts do not develop that kind of relationship. And I'm envious of that. But I also have to wonder, in terms of the winter event, we are talking on a day when Texas is shut down. I had trouble getting calls this morning because the 800 line comes out of Dallas and no one could call in. Everything is frozen. Did you ever not get to the studio, Larry Morrow, because of weather?
No, I the storm of 73, when 57 people died in our state. I left my home at 1 o'clock in the morning in Chagrin Falls, and I arrived at the station at 5:30. A normal 40-minute drive took me 4.5 hours. And Hugh, I spent 13 straight hours on the air because the guys couldn't get in.
Yep, that's to me. I had to shut down the federal government in 78, and it took me 7.5 hours to get home in Washington, D.C. I was in the Reagan administration. And I thought about that, and I thought broadcasters have to, you've got to have somebody, like 9/11, like every disaster has to have somebody on the radio.
Hugh, look, I've come to the end of the interview for the most part, but I do want to ask this one final question.
You bet.
I want to use these names to make a point. Martin Luther King, of course, I Have a Dream. President Reagan, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall. John F. Kennedy, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Hugh, is there anything that you have said or done for your children, your friends, your spouse, or even America that will outlive your life?
Well, I have heard quoted back to me from a marriage ceremony, something my wife and I have said to each other for a very long time, and which you and Rosary probably can attest to. It's easier with two. And a young friend who got married used that in their vows, as young people are wont to do, as being the reason the marriage was happening, in part was because they had been persuaded that it is indeed easier with two. And I love that. That made me happy. Hadn't happened a lot, but it happened.
Well, Hugh, I can't even begin to tell you the pleasure that you have given me to spend this kind of time with you.
Well, that's reciprocal, Larry. I'm talking to a legend. Well, you honestly don't know unless you listen to somebody growing up who you get to talk to. And you're not that much older than I am, but you started young and got big in a hurry. And unlike a lot of people, you started on 50,000 watts. I started on 50,000 watts. A lot of people have to go to, you know, to the edge of the world, Paducah, and do 5 years there before you can do 50,000 watts. Did you ever talk to someone like I'm talking to Larry?
No. Well, you know, the I think it, when you look sort of in a rearview mirror, as we both do, I get asked every once in a while, what was the one thing that turned your life around? And I can remember, of course, President Reagan was shot in 1981. And of course, no one would know more about President Reagan than you. But when he was shot in 1981, you know, he didn't leave the White House for what, a year and a half. And we're in the middle of our turnaround from 1975 to 1985. And George Voinovich is a mayor. And I get a call one day from the head of the Republican Party for the state of Ohio. And he said, Larry, he said, we just got word that President Reagan, after not leaving the White House for almost a couple of years, is coming to Cleveland, Ohio. And I said, oh, would you do me a favor? Could you come on my morning show tomorrow morning and make that announcement? And he said, yes, I will. And he said, as a matter of fact, we're sitting here wondering who we could get to introduce him. And I said, well, whoever you get, I want to talk to that person as well. I'd like to interview him. He said, well, then you're going to have to interview yourself because we would like to have you introduce President Reagan.
No dummies. See, you got to meet the Gipper. I cherish those moments.
Yes.
He was a great man. But Larry, I want to ask you one last question.
Yes.
I got 2 minutes left here. You always say yes, which is a policy I have almost followed. By saying yes, you do charity events. You do a lot of charity events.
Yes.
And I try to. I travel too much sometimes to do them. And, you know, I just want to say, I appreciate that because the radio, there's a guy named Mark Larson in San Diego. He is about to you, as you are to Cleveland, Mark is to San Diego. And he never says no to a charity event. And his argument is somebody has to go and make these events happen on time and make their marks.
Yes.
And that's what we do. Is that why you say, I mean, you're giving back, obviously, but I hate to see a badly run event. I really, it just makes the radio people go crazy.
Well, you know what? Hugh, I think that's right. Look, I only cared about one thing when I turn on that microphone and when I walk around Cleveland. I wanted to reach the hearts of people. I didn't care about their head. I didn't want people to think that I was smart. I only wanted them to know how much I cared about them. And I think that's why people said, let's get Larry to come to this event. And I went everywhere, Hugh, from my old Wixie 1260 days to the time I left radio. I only wanted to reach into the hearts of people. And when I teach at John Carroll University, I teach communication skills. And I think that's the key, isn't it, Hugh?
Yeah.
And I, you know something? It's what people can feel. And when I listened to you, I told Avery Friedman, I said, I love Hugh Hewitt. And there's something about him that comes through the radio that you don't hear, but you feel. And I feel you. If
that's a high compliment. That's like Ted Lasso land. I've been telling everyone today about Ted Lasso, the Apple mm-hmm. TV show, which is, it's not for children, but it's awfully endearing because the people on it, you care about them. You do. You actually develop an affinity for them.
Yep.
And if you and I can do that over the air, and you certainly did, then we've done our job.
Well, Hugh, what can I say? Thank you, pal.
Thank you, Larry. My honor, my pleasure.
Same here. I'm Larry Morrow, and this is Take Two. We're talking with broadcast journalist Hugh Hewitt.
Larry, that was terrific. Great 45 minutes. I'll tell the guys on Salem I was talking to a legend.
Okay. Same here. Okay.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you. If you have someone you would like us to interview, let me know via email at larry@larrymorrow.com. Tell a friend about our new radio program, Larry Morrow's Take Two, heard Saturday morning at 9:30 on 1220 The Word and Sunday afternoon at 2 on 1420 The Answer. And until next time, do all the good you can to everyone you can, every time you can. For Take Two, I'm Larry Morrow.